are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Monday, January 18th, and on today's episode, it's brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So now, midway through January, as we look back at the weekend of Big Ten basketball, five great games, is the conference picture in the landscape starting to take shape? Are the best teams rising to the top of the conference? We answer those questions on today's episode, and I'm so glad that my guest today is the smartest man in the Big Ten Conference to help us cipher through those very questions. We are joined by Daniel House, the founder of GophersGuru.com, keeping you locked and loaded with everything you need to know about Minnesota sports and Big Ten sports in general. He is the smartest man in the Big Ten Conference. We know his acumen and his depth of knowledge when it comes to Big Ten football. Now we put that to the test with Big Ten hoops, but I think Daniel House rises to that challenge today. I have very much confidence in him. Daniel, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Big Ten hoops. It's exciting. This Big Ten is a gauntlet, man.
It is. Five great games this weekend. Then I think start to paint a picture of what we are going to see. But I also think it showed that not every game is going to be a given. When you have teams that are playing so well that go into the weekend and then can lose each and every game, that will be the picture overall of Big Ten basketball this season. So we will give our biggest overall takeaways, what it says for the rest of the conference slate, and what it says about these teams right now, about midway through the conference basketball season. 20 Big Ten games in this conference slate. Each team has played about eight so far, with a few postponements mixed in there as well. Daniel and I are going to give you our overall impressions from the weekend, some of the biggest things that stood out to us. And I think as we speak to the founder of GophersGuru.com, one is probably on the top of his mind. Daniel, am I correct in saying such a thing?
Yes, the Gophers knocking off number seven Michigan this weekend. Big surprise, but the Gophers played their arguably their best game of the year.
Absolutely. What did that tell you about where Richard Pitino and the Gophers are so far throughout Big Ten basketball?
I just feel like you're starting to see the team really come together with the pandemic and everything. Richard Pitino's talked a lot about just not having that connectivity as much during the spring and summer months, really made it challenging to like put this roster together. I mean, they added a lot of transfers. You see Brandon Johnson out there making a big impact, and Liam Robbins as well, just dominating that game, 22 points. I had a couple steals, couple block shots. He's been through the gauntlet of the Big Ten with these big men. You see Kofi Coburn, Luka Garza, Hunter Dickinson. First time around, gave up 28 points to Hunter Dickinson. Then comes back this week, keeps him in check. And that was the storyline of the game, being able to come down and trap him, get him to maybe force some passes out of that. I just thought the team defense was sensational. Gabe Kelzer locking down Franz Wagner. Had us, you know, Franz Wagner is one of the top players in the Big Ten, and being able to have such a big size advantage on Gabe Kelzer, and he locked him down. I mean, Pitino said after the game, he thinks Gabe Kelzer is the best perimeter defender in the Big Ten right now. So you see that team defense against a Michigan team that hadn't lost a game yet and is top 10 in all the big metrics on KenPom. That was a huge win for the Gophers.
That was my biggest takeaway from the weekend as well. I call it What the F Saturday. It was a day that featured two great top-ranked battles between two ranked teams, and I expected both of those to go to the higher-seeded foe at the moment. That would be Illinois and Ohio State in the first game. I'll touch on that in just a few moments, but also in this Michigan game, because the Wolverines were coming in playing such great basketball. They had just blown out Wisconsin. They were unbeaten. They were on a historic streak where they had beaten three ranked opponents in three straight games, all by at least 19 points or more in each of those contests, and it seemed that a lot of people were crowning Michigan as that third-best team in all of college basketball, just behind Gonzaga and Baylor. So I expected them to continue to do that. And part of that historic run was a 25-point win over Minnesota just about a week and a half ago. So for the Gophers to turn it around with how good Michigan was playing, that really says a lot in my mind about where the Gophers are, that they're not going to be just a pushover in this conference. They have performed so well at home in the barn. And we saw that again. They have wins over Michigan, over Iowa in the barn, over St. Louis, over Michigan State, over Ohio State. They have played so well at home in the Twin Cities, but it's been a different picture when they've gone on the road. They have losses to people like Iowa. They were blown out by Wisconsin, Illinois to start off the Big Ten basketball season against Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan as well. I think I said those teams already. There's just a lot in there. But each of those four losses on the road were by double digits. So it's quite a disparity. But it's so interesting to me when you look at that in this year of Big Ten basketball, when there's no fans in the stands. And you don't think a home court advantage means as much. But so far for Richard Pitino and the Gophers, it really has.
Yeah, and Richard Pitino, after the game, he's been asked so many times about home versus road, like, what is the difference? And he finally just said yesterday, guys, if you're going to keep asking me about that, there's nothing different. There's nobody in the stands. Like, I can't put a finger on what it is. I mean, honestly, the testing's the same when they get there. Like, I was wondering, is it maybe related to all the logistics leading into the game being so different and not having as much contact together? But Richard Pitino just thinks it's the stretch that they play. I mean, seven games in a row against ranked teams, which is the longest streak in college basketball since 2011. St. John's did it back then, eight games. So the Gophers have been battle tested. I mean, you just see what they're able to do against Iowa at home, Michigan at home. Dickinson only having 9 points. I think Robbins has shown what he can do. He hasn't been as consistent. I mean, there's some games where the other guy's taken over, but he is getting better because he's playing some of the best competition. And of course, Marcus Carr, you know, a lot of teams are starting to take him away, hedging those ball screens. Now they're able to, you know, find some other complementary options. If Kelscher can get going, find his shot a little bit. Booth Gotch, a transfer from Utah, trying to adjust to the physicality of the Big Ten. But this is the deepest roster that Richard Pitino's had at Minnesota. And you're starting to see some of the pieces come together. They just need to establish some consistency. They're through the gauntlet stretch of the schedule. It eases up now. So they need to figure out how to win on the road, take care of the games they should win. And I think they're positioned extremely well. The resume, like you said, with even a win over St. Louis. I mean, that was an impressive win for the Gophers as well.
The Billikens are a top 25 team now. Minnesota's next scheduled game against Nebraska has been postponed due to COVID issues within the Huskers. That game was supposed to be played on Wednesday night. But as we focus back on Saturday's game against Michigan, really Liam Robbins in that matchup against Hunter Dickinson was incredible. I thought they were able to frustrate Dickinson, unlike what the first matchup was just about a week and a half ago. And with Liam Robbins posting 22 points and 9 boards, really allowed other people on the team, you know, Marcus Carr is going to get his points, but Brandon Johnson looked good in the post. And I think a big matchup that was missing on Michigan's side was having their guard Eli Brooks out of that game due to some right foot soreness or whatever it was he was dealing with in terms of not being able to play against Minnesota. He was going to be the guy that was going to lock up, or at least try to lock up, Marcus Carr. So without Eli Brooks in that game, you saw some of the depth and the breadth of experience that we've seen so far from Michigan. They didn't really have that balance on Saturday against Minnesota. Only two scorers in double figures, and Isaiah Livers and Shondi Brown. They didn't do what we had seen them do throughout this stretch run that they had been on, starting off an unbeaten season. Minnesota, that's a huge credit to them and their ability to make this Michigan team, coming off a huge rout of Wisconsin, not look as good as we have seen them in weeks past in Big Ten basketball. I think Minnesota will be in contention for a Big Ten title later in the year because, as you mentioned, they are battle-tested. They have great results in that early slugfest of a portion of their schedule in Big Ten basketball. And now they might have some opportunities to capitalize and beat some of the teams that are in the bottom half of the Big Ten standings.
Yeah, and you see the storyline of that game, 20 turnovers they forced against Michigan, scored 23 points off of those. I just thought Richard Pitino's game plan was so much better this time around, trapping Dickinson and then rotating off of those traps and not giving up a lot of backside baskets. Those easy baskets were the storyline, and Dickinson was able to win with his left hand off the dribble, was getting a lot of really good post touches. Now that he was getting them more at the free throw line, which caused some trouble. And when the trap came, he was trying to get the ball out quick. And like you said, with Eli Brooks being out, that certainly changed everything for Michigan and threw a wrench into it. But Gophers team defense, this team, when they play really good defense and they're locked in like that, they can compete with anybody in the country, I think. Just watching what they were able to do against Iowa and Michigan, two of the best teams in the Big Ten, that sets a standard. And now just think what could happen down the stretch here as things ease up, they get some rest. I thought they benefited from the week off too. Talking to Richard Pitino before this last game, he said having that time off, they were just able to mentally and physically regroup and then be able to put in some new things the second time around playing Michigan. I just thought the game plan around Hunter Dickinson, holding him to 9 points after giving up 28 the first time around, Robbins is just, I tell you, you see the potential. That guy can play in the NBA. He's got a great story too. I mean, he was like 300 pounds initially, lost all that weight, ended up going to Drake, Sunrise Christian Academy gave him a chance in high school, and then Drake was the only school to really give him a chance, and then eventually elevates up and transfers to Minnesota. His uncle, Ed Conroy, is an assistant coach for the Gophers, so big in the recruiting process there. But Richard Pitino's haul in the spring months with the transfers, that's what's transformed this roster to the next level.
And if Minnesota can go through a battle-tested Big Ten conference and compete and win those close games, they can do that with the rest of college basketball, because any team that performs well against the Big Ten will have a great opportunity against teams coming from other leagues. So it wasn't just a great weekend of Big Ten basketball, which it was. We had one game on Friday night, two great ranked matchups on Saturday, and two great games on Sunday heading into the divisional weekend of NFL football, because we are now on to conference championship weekend. So whether it's the NFL, the NBA, NHL season has started, or Big Ten basketball, there is only one place that has you covered for all of it, and one place that we trust here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And that one place is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for your 50% welcome bonus. We don't have any Big Ten basketball on tonight, but we do have some games for Tuesday. No spreads out as of yet for betonline.ag, but they will be there. Make sure you are checking on Monday for those spreads on betonline.ag for college basketball all throughout this week, Big Ten basketball all throughout this week, and as we get to the weekend, some more Big Ten basketball and some NFL football as well. You don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are now in the heart of January. We are now in the thick of college basketball season. So betting on college hoops, especially Big Ten basketball, doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Lee brings a depth of knowledge that very few people know. He's like 3-4 decades in the sports handicapping business. He brings all of that expertise to Locked On Bets. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers each and every day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So that is what Lee does for you each and every day on the Locked On Bets podcast. We recap this weekend of Big Ten basketball to make you a smarter Big Ten fan as you get ready maybe to play some wagers, but also just enjoy this conference slate. We recap all of this past weekend and what it means for the rest of the conference season with the smartest man in the Big Ten conference, Daniel House. So we are speaking with the brightest mind in all of the Big Ten Conference, recapping the weekend of Big Ten basketball, Daniel House of Gophers Guru. We talked about Michigan and Minnesota and their great game on Saturday. Any other games stand out to you, Daniel, throughout this weekend that you had your eye on from Big Ten hoops?
I've been impressed with Purdue, Ben. I just think Matt Painter's got this squad starting to find a groove. Travion Williams, one of the most underrated big men in the league. Like, it feels like he's been here forever. That's the case with all of the former Purdue players. Doesn't it seem like, Ben, we're always like, is this guy going to graduate soon?
Right. I mean, you have like Matt Harms, Caleb Swanigan, everybody that's been there forever. You're like, are you still like, you're still there? This is your seventh year on campus in West Lafayette. What are you still doing?
Yeah, I know. And Matt Painter always finds a way to get his team playing better as the season progresses. Quietly number 27 in KenPom right now, 27 in defensive efficiency, 37 in offensive efficiency. With some guys starting to come along, I like Brandon Newman and what we saw in the Penn State game flashing. That's what you see with Matt Painter's being able to bring those guys along. You never count out the Boilermakers, especially, I mean, there's no home court advantage right now. Mackey Arena's tough, so it equalizes the playing field a little bit. I know like the results probably haven't indicated that across the Big Ten when you look at everything, but Matt Painter, one of the best coaches in the Big Ten, I think.
Absolutely. Purdue now on a 3-game winning streak. I brought up this point today that I think Travion Williams is in competition for the second best big in all of the Big Ten Conference, obviously behind the reigning Big Ten Player of the Year in Iowa's Luka Garza. He has performed that well this year, and the Boilermakers have really built up some very positive momentum dating back to last Friday. Their shocking upset, come from behind, last second win over Michigan State on the road in East Lansing. They get a huge win over Indiana in that rivalry matchup and then perform very well against Penn State in a game that was very ugly early on in the first half. Nobody's shooting the ball very well on the offensive side. Purdue kind of mustered some courage in that second and started to pull away from a Penn State team that was playing for the first time in a few weeks after coming back from some COVID issues there. So what Purdue is doing is very impressive. The thought that I have about Purdue has been this. I don't think their record at times will be all that glamorous this year, although they are now 10-5, 5-3 in the Big Ten. But I think they are one of the best teams, and I think they will be a team that is competing in the NCAA tournament come March, which would be so fantastic to have the Boilermakers playing in the state of Indiana, as that is hosting the entire NCAA tournament. Purdue has been very impressive to me so far throughout this Big Ten basketball season. It's a way I feel about the Boilermakers that I also feel about the next team I want to highlight, the Ohio State Buckeyes, because I thought going into this year, Ohio State had the chance to be a middle of the pack Big Ten team. They could compete, they could win some games, they would be a thorn in other teams' side, but would they compete for a Big Ten title? Would they be one of the best 3, 4, 5 teams in the conference? Probably not. Chris Holtmann had assembled this roster. They needed some time to gel. I didn't think it would work this year. However, they have proven me wrong, and they proved me wrong again on Saturday in an incredibly tough win over Illinois on the road in Champaign. The Buckeyes are performing so well right now in the Big Ten Conference, and they really are balanced. They don't have a star. They don't have somebody that just calls out to you like other teams do, like Minnesota's Marcus Carr, like Iowa's Luka Garza, like Indiana's Trace Jackson Davis, even Io DeSumo from Illinois. They don't have somebody that stands out, although Dwayne Washington Jr. is really coming on so far throughout Big Ten play. EJ Liddell was the guy against his team that he came out of the state, the two-time Mr. Illinois State of Basketball, performing well against the Illini. He had 26 against Illinois on Saturday, but they're really balanced across the board. EJ Liddell, Dwayne Washington, Justin Arnes shooting the three ball with the best of them in the entire conference. Michi Johnson, the guy that's now a stud freshman for them and able to play. Musa Jallo does so many things off the bench. They have a very talented roster, and I think now that my perspective of them has started to flip, where I think they will be a team that by the time we get to late February, early March in the Big Ten Conference, they have a good a shot as anybody to win that Big Ten crown.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with their roster. I think that group has been formulated really nicely by Chris Holtmann. You said EJ Liddell, 26 points. I thought Seth Towns was low-key a very important player. He had 11 points in that game coming off the bench. That team has a lot of depth, and they came out just shooting. It was like 7-9 from three, draining everything that they put up. I just like how they move the ball. They play very collaboratively on defense. Illinois is one of the best teams in the country. I'm still bullish on Illinois. I believe they will figure it out. Just lately, the ball movement hasn't quite been there. I thought they were getting beat on the glass quite a bit against Ohio State this weekend, but that team has talent and depth. DeSumo, like you said, Trent Frazier will find his shot and get going. Then you got Kofi Coburn, one of the best bigs in the Big Ten, and Bishanas Vili. I mean, sometimes I watch Bishanas Vili come off the bench and I go like, this guy could be starting for a lot of Big Ten teams. And he comes off the bench and is able to provide a nice compliment to Kofi Coburn. Adam Miller being a guy, a freshman, playing so well. That team, you see that game against Northwestern earlier this year, for example, being able to just lock down on defense for stretches. Brad Underwood is going to get that message through. I just love watching his press conference after the Ohio State game. And he is just, I would not want to be a guy in that practice this week, because he is going to be just throwing things around, hollering and yelling, and trying to get his team to play more collaboratively on offense, pass the ball, make the extra pass. You see those flashes of ball movement, though, like Ohio State. I'm like, man, okay, like 7 passes and a shot. That's fantastic. Illinois will figure it out. Ohio State, sleeper in the Big Ten. Nobody's talking about them enough. When they are hot shooting the basketball, they are tough to beat.
Illinois needs to figure out some consistency, because we have seen throughout this year, you highlight that Northwestern game, they look so good in the second half, right? Made the Wildcats offense just absolutely stale and stagnant, but Illinois was down 15 at the half. Illinois was also down 15 at the half against Ohio State before making a comeback in those final 20 minutes. So what is it about an elite team that still allows you at times to go down by double digits, 15 points, to teams that you really should be competing and probably beating on a daily basis in the Big Ten Conference? That does give me some cause for concern. But like you, Daniel, I'm still very high on Illinois. I still think, in my mind, they are the most complete team and the best suited team to come out of the Big Ten Conference to make a deep run in March Madness, a second, maybe even third weekend team by the time we get to March. I still love what Illinois is doing, like you just spoke about, their depth across the board. Io DeSumo, one of the most talented players in all of college basketball, his compliment down low with Kofi Coburn. They have some senior leadership with Trent Frazier and some very talented freshmen. Adam Miller has become a knockdown guy. That lefty stroke, as Tim Brando likes to describe it, nobody ever described a righty as being a crafty shooter. Adam Miller has a great stroke from behind the arc, but his fellow freshman, Andre Curbelo, who's had a couple of down games, but is a really talented playmaker and facilitator off the bench that Brad Underwood loves to utilize for the Illini. I'm fine with Illinois. I think they will bounce back. They have a little bit of an easier stretch now as well, where they can maybe separate and get back to the top of the Big Ten Conference. They have Northwestern coming up this week, and Northwestern, after a perfect 3-0 start in Big Ten play, has looked anything but, at least in these last couple of games. I still am very high on Illinois, but I am really, really impressed by what I see out of Ohio State. I think they will be a team that is right there with Illinois by the time we get to the end of the Big Ten basketball season. As you can tell from this conversation with Gophers guru Daniel House, you know what's hard? Playing in the Big Ten Basketball Conference. Each and every night, every matchup is going to be very, very difficult. You know what's easy? Turning to Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's a protein bar that literally tastes like a candy bar. It's as simple as that. And you know what's even better about Built Bar is that when you're eating this candy bar like tasting thing, it's good for you as well, because Built Bars are healthy. They are perfect for the health conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in the delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. They are great for the keto diet. I just got a new box shipped to my apartment. When you go to BuiltBar.com, I'll give you that promo code in a second. It goes right to your door. And this was one of my favorite flavors, peanut butter, right? I'm a huge peanut butter fan. The flavor profile of it, 19 grams of protein, 19, and only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams of net carbs. What is so great about Built Bar is that it doesn't have any of the bad stuff, but just has all the stuff that is good for you. And it tastes incredible, truly delicious. The bars, all of them, are covered in 100% chocolate. They have 18 amazing flavors. They are soft and easy to chew. And as I recommend often, when you get your Built Bars, put a few of them in the freezer, let them get crisp, and then you enjoy the taste even that much more. It is a protein bar that is good for you, but tastes like you are eating a tasty dessert each and every single time you consume a Built Bar. And the best part about Built Bar, outside of the taste, outside of the health benefits, is this deal. When you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, that's LOCKEDON, you will get 20% off your next order. Use promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So as we continue our conversation with Daniel House, looking back on the weekend of Big Ten basketball and what it means for the conference picture overall, one of my final takeaways from the weekend is about Rutgers basketball. So coming up on tomorrow's episode, it's a Tuesday. You know what that means. The State of the Program show here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. I need to know what is happening with the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. As you heard on Friday, and as you will hear in this conversation with Daniel House, Rutgers means a lot to me. I love sharing out my Jimmy Valvano clip of him saying, your family, your religion, and Rutgers basketball. And they've lost 4 straight. So I haven't been able to do that. I need to, and I need to know what is happening. We speak with On the Banks' Aaron Brightman about what is happening with the Scarlet Knights and how they turn it around in Piscataway quickly, because they need to hear about the midway inflection point of the Big Ten basketball season. That comes up tomorrow, Rutgers basketball on our State of the Program show. Today, though, we finish off the recap of the weekend of Big Ten hoops.
I think Ohio State and Minnesota are those two teams that nobody really will want to play if indeed there is a Big Ten tournament. This is the year I would not like fall off my couch if the 4 top seeds lost on Friday. Like, yeah. I would not be shocked at all. It would not be surprising.
You have a team like Indiana that has struggled a little bit here, at least in a results-oriented business, that I think might be one of the most talented rosters from top to bottom in all of the Big Ten Conference. So if they put it together for one day and the guards started to shoot, and you know what Trace Jackson Davis can do inside, they wouldn't shock me if they were a 9 or 10 seed in the Big Ten tournament knocking off one of the best. I completely agree with your point there.
It is just because the Big Ten is so deep. You have 12 teams in the top 50 of KenPom. How many of those are going to make the NCAA tournament? Everyone's going to respect the Big Ten Conference. So if you've got a lot of really impressive resume wins, like, for example, Minnesota does against Iowa and Michigan, Wisconsin, I feel like we're not talking a lot about Wisconsin. I mean, right. Second fewest turnovers in the NCAA right now, playing clean basketball, awesome team defense. Greg Gard's got that team clicking. I think Micah Potter's been one of the X factors, having him in there completely 100% after last year coming in during the kind of midway point of the season as a transfer. But, you know, just seeing what Wisconsin's been able to do, it's nothing flashy like normal, but it's just solid execution, really, really great basketball.
Wisconsin bounced back from that rout of Michigan in the midweek to come back and win a great game on the road against Rutgers in the rack on Friday night. You talk about not flashy. The final score of that game, 60-54. I don't know what the over-under total was by the time we got to tip on Friday night. but that had to be under, because that wasn't exactly an offensive game that would leave you saying, ooh, that's some high energy. But Wisconsin able to bounce back from a game where they looked terrible against Michigan this past Tuesday night. And that brings me to one of my final takeaways from the weekend, is that Rutgers, a team that started off so hot and that a lot of people were highlighting as, ooh, they are now a contender in the Big Ten Conference, needs to turn it around and turn it around quick. We will be speaking to On the Banks' Aaron Brightman on tomorrow's State of the Program episode to hear what is happening with the Rutgers Scarlet Knights after a perfect 6-0 start to the season, because now Steve Peichel's crew has lost 4 straight, 5 of their last 6, falling to Wisconsin on Friday night. They are a far way off from when they started off the season 6-0, capped by a great win over an Illinois team that was top 10 at the time. Now they're just 3-5 in Big Ten play at almost the halfway point of the year. And if they can't start to turn it around quick, they're not really going to be one of the top seeds by the time we get to the Big Ten tournament, which, by the way, as John Rothstein reported, might be moving from Chicago to Indianapolis. We have to wait on that. But Rutgers needs to figure something out right away if they want to be in contention for anything coming down the stretch in Big Ten play.
Rutgers is surprising me. I've been waiting for them to just find a groove. And I know Geo Baker's been battling back from injury and slowly progressing along, but they just haven't been able to establish that consistency and find a groove as a group. I feel like that team just is not very connected. Sometimes the possessions are very iso ball, just guys dribbling all over, Geo Baker trying to make something happen. You have talent there. Miles Johnson, Ron Harper Jr., Young's played well. I mean, they have talent on that team. I do think they will figure it out eventually and things will get clicking. But you watch what, you know, Demetric Trice was able to do against them. I don't think Demetric Trice is getting enough buzz. Like, Demetric is playing at an extremely high level right now. I would not be surprised if some NBA teams start looking at him. He might be the most improved player in the Big Ten right now.
Demetric Trice came into the Rutgers game averaging 21.8 points per game in his most recent 5 contests, had another great game against the Scarlet Knights, really propelled Wisconsin in that second half to pull away in Piscataway, New Jersey on Friday. Some good news for Rutgers fans, though. Their next 4 games, all against unranked opponents as it stands at the moment, although 3 or 4 of those are on the road. And as we saw on Friday, Cliff Omorui, the very talented big man, the freshman inside for Rutgers, was back. He is seeming to get back into the pace, into the flow. His health is returning. He played 15 minutes against Wisconsin. He was crucial for giving them some depth in that early 6-0 perfect start to the college basketball season. Cliff Omorui being back for Rutgers is huge. It has been that case throughout the month he wasn't there. Steve Peichel getting pestered with questions with it each and every time in his press conferences. What's Cliff's update? How's Omorui doing? Is he back to practice? Finally, he was able to return. He hadn't played since December 20th prior to this Wisconsin game on Friday night. Anything else, Daniel House, stand out to you from this weekend of Big Ten basketball? I think we've given a pretty thorough summation of these 5 games from this weekend.
We have. I want to see what happens with Michigan State down the stretch here. Are they going to be able to get this thing grooving? Tom Izzo always finds a way to have his team playing the best basketball at the end of the year. The thing that I found crazy, and I'm going to end this with this stat. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Minnesota has never defeated both Michigan and Michigan State by double digits in the same season since 1972-73.
Wow.
Dave Winfield was on the team playing dual sport, the Hall of Fame baseball player.
I was about to say, Dave Winfield sounds familiar, but I didn't know he was a hooper as well.
He was a hooper, yeah. He was a baseball player, basketball player. I mean, football player, got drafted by the Vikings, I believe. Just one of the best athletes to ever play at the U. But that's how long it's been, and that's how crazy the Big Ten is this year, that you've got these disparities, like we talked about, with Minnesota at home, Minnesota on the road. You see one night Purdue being able to beat Michigan State. Then you watch Michigan State one night, and they look like they're maybe starting to find a groove and then hit a wall again. It is going to be crazy. I can't wait to see what happens in the next couple of months here.
As we look at the Big Ten Conference, when we look to March Madness in the NCAA tournament, there are 12 teams currently ranked within the net top 60, meaning a pretty good picture for March Madness. A lot of bracketologists have 9 or 10 Big Ten teams making the NCAA tournament. Of those 12 teams in the net top 60, Michigan State is not one of them at the moment. But as we get into February, and now as we are in late January, and as they say in East Lansing, it goes January, February, Izzo, and April. So can Tom Izzo find something within this team that he says needs some leadership and needs it desperately to figure things out through the latter half of Big Ten basketball play? Michigan State, of course, has been off since earlier this week dealing with some COVID issues within their program. They weren't scheduled to play in the midweek at all. Their next scheduled game is a tough test at home at least, but hosting Illinois this upcoming Saturday. We will see how it all shakes out. But if you take one thing away from today's conversation, recapping the weekend of Big Ten basketball and the painting the picture of the conference overall, it is going to be a dogfight each and every night. That will be the one thing you hear about Big Ten hoops all year long. And the smartest man in all of the Big Ten Conference was breaking it down for you. Daniel House of GophersGuru.com, keeping you locked with everything you need to know about Minnesota sports, Big Ten sports overall. He has proven it throughout the football season. And now I will say he can be crowned the smartest man in Big Ten basketball as well. Daniel House, always a pleasure.
You're so kind. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
So many thanks again to the smartest man in all of the Big Ten Conference. And when I say all of the Big Ten Conference, we knew what he brought to the table when it came to football. Now we know that for basketball as well. Daniel House of GophersGuru.com. Make sure to give Gophers Guru a checkout. Subscribe to what he is doing. He provides you insight, analysis, things you can't find anywhere when it comes to Minnesota sports, Big Ten sports. Daniel brings a perspective that is so rich and so good at what he does. It makes you smarter. That is always the goal here on Locked On Big Ten. I know that's the goal on Gophers Guru as well, to make you a more engaged, smarter basketball, football, hockey, whatever it may be, Big Ten fan. That is what Daniel House provides at GophersGuru.com. That's what we provide here at the Locked On Big Ten podcast as well. That's what we will continue to provide to you on tomorrow's episode, the State of the Program show. What the heck is happening with Rutgers basketball? After a perfect 6-0 start, rising to as high as number 14 in the country, they have now lost 5 of their last 6. They have lost 4 straight. So Aaron Brightman of On the Banks joins us tomorrow to tell us what's going on in Piscataway. I think he'll figure it out, and hopefully Rutgers starts to figure it out as well throughout the rest of this Big Ten basketball season. So until we get to the State of the Program show tomorrow, have a splendid Monday. Mm-hmm.